So I'll come to order. Okay. Guess we're. Yeah, it's just labor that's. No. Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, February 19th. Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Here.
Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Aye. Here.
Case.
Present.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Amrick.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Hicks. Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Platern, President Ross.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Senator Dockstader.
Our Heavenly Father, with gratitude we open up this day and ask that Thou will bless us in all our efforts to serve the people well in Wyoming. Bless us that we'll remember our individual responsibilities across our districts, and that we'll move forward with a purpose to bless those we serve and bless the state as a whole with our work. We ask a blessing upon our individual families and businesses at home. If there be concerns in the hearts of those here in the Senate, those who help serve the Senate, in regards to health matters or business matters, we pray that Thou will guide and direct those who have responsibility for such. Regardless, Thy will be done. Now, as we start this day, bless us, we'll remember those matters which we've studied and worked hard on, and that we move forward and debate with civility, respect, and do what is best for the state of Wyoming. We are blessed to have a beautiful state with many resources. We acknowledge Thy hand in that and open this day unto Thee and ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, approval of the journal, or the reading clerk, please read the journal committee report.
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 18th, 2014 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jim L. Anderson, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. The doctor for the day is Dr. Waddell from Cheyenne. Good to see you, Doctor. Today in Wyoming history, 1915, Governor K. Kendrick approved an act that authorized the construction of additional sections on the east and west wings of the Capitol building. Thought for the day, the most wasted of all days is one without laughter. I don't have that problem. Members of the Senate. Oh, we have...
Mr. President?
Yes. You may.
Fellow senators and guests, please join me in welcoming George Byers. He is Vice President of Rare Earths Resources, which is in the process of opening the third rare earth mine outside of China in Crook County and bringing the biggest thing that's happened to our county since statehood. So, and Weston County as well, probably. So, please welcome George. He's going to hang around and answer questions in the back if anybody wants any answers on rare earths.
Welcome. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, what I've got is an announcement that I wanted to make now because it affects some people's plans. Talking with the majority floor leader on our schedule, we're going to resume the hearing on the Medicaid expansion bill to complete the public testimony at 1:30, and it will be in room 302. And I wanted to make that announcement early so people were aware.
Members of the Senate, it's a great honor that we have today to welcome United States Representative Cynthia Lummis back to the Wyoming legislature. Prior to being elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, she served 14 years in the Wyoming House and Senate and 8 years as the Wyoming State Treasurer. She currently serves on the Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology, and the Committee on Natural Resources. Congressman Lummis continues to be involved in operations on the Lummis Family Ranch, located right here in Laramie County, while proudly serving the residents of Wyoming. Please help me in welcoming United States Representative Lummis.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Well, it is my great pleasure and honor to be back in this chamber with some of the faces with which I served. And after coming off literally the worst year that I have had in serving in the U.S. House, I had some reflecting to do before I came to visit with you today. 2013 is something that the U.S. Congress should not be proud of. We saw in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee efforts to determine what happened in Benghazi turn up very difficult questions that we still have unanswered. We saw on the same committee an IRS leader by the name of Lois Lerner come and perjure herself in front of our committee and then take the Fifth Amendment and refuse to testify about the fact that 100% of the organizations that the IRS targeted for unequal treatment were conservative organizations. Political targeting, whether it's done regarding Democrats or Republicans, is absolutely unacceptable. We have to have confidence that our tax-collecting agency, which extracts billions of dollars from the American people, is honest. We need it to be honest. Our government shut down for 2 weeks, causing great turmoil. The rollout of Obamacare has not served the American people well. And much to my dismay, we have taken more money from the state of Wyoming. Not only did the AML monies come out of Wyoming, but now $20 million a year permanently is coming from the state of Wyoming's share of its money, of its mineral royalties, because the federal government thinks it knows how to spend that money better than you do. That is wrong. That is Wyoming's money. And I'm embarrassed that that happened on my watch. And I will work tirelessly to correct it. The lessons that I learned in Congress show a dysfunctional organization. But I learned to legislate here. I learned to legislate in this room, in the room across the hall, for 14 years. And I want to take you back, especially a couple people here, Senator Scott and Senator Hines, to where we were in the 1980s. Back then, the Wyoming Senate believed in a tier system of property taxation led by Senator Bob Frisbee. The House believed in a flat system of property taxation led by Representative Ron Michaeli. For a number of years, we killed each other's bills, and we couldn't resolve it. So industrial taxpayers sued the state. They won right in front of the legislative session, a decision by the Wyoming Supreme Court saying the manner in which we were taxing property was contrary to the Constitution. So right before the session, in fact, right as it began, the Speaker and the President appointed six people to go in that room right there and resolve it. And we did. We came up with an amendment to the Wyoming Constitution that created a hybrid, that created two classes of property plus a manner in which we would value ag property that has served this state well since that time. Not perfectly, as people from Teton County know, but it has served the state well. I know Senator Scott recalls that. I know that Senator Hines recalls that. He and I served together as representatives at that time. That was a lesson in how to work together. That was a lesson in how to solve problems. And I say that not because you face kind of a similar scenario with regard to the education issues in this state. I know you'll resolve those. I say it because the Congress of the United States has not learned that lesson. The Congress of the United States has not learned to put the people in front of the politics. And this legislature has so much better served its citizens than the Congress is serving the citizens of the United States right now. I take that lesson seriously. I will pursue it diligently in 2014. There's only three ways to get out of this terrible debt we're in. And the parties, respectively, have taken two of those solutions off the table. The Republicans will not raise taxes. And the Democrats will not reform entitlements. That only leaves one way out. And that is to grow. Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
They're just amendments anyway.
Sorry about that. There's only way left, and that's to grow our way out of this mess. Oh, look, I even got your pants. I'm sorry. And the only way to grow our way out of this is to reform our tax code. It is complicated, it is unfair, and it needs to be flatter, fairer, and easier. Compliance with an easier tax code that will allow us to repatriate money that's overseas can help us grow our way out and create a climate of entrepreneurism. So along with House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dave Camp, I'm pushing our leadership hard to bring that tax reform to the floor of the House. And I'll continue to fight diligently. Those are the kinds of solutions I learned in this room from you. I want to compliment you on your ability to solve problems. I know it's not easy, but But you have the ability, the gumption, the desire, and the heart to serve our state well. I admire that, and I admire you. Thank you for your service to our state. Thank you for your service to me as a proud resident of this state. God bless your work. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield back. Or, Mr. President, I yield back.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm fine.
Thank you.
That's all, sir. Members of the Senate, Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, could I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, I'd like to have Steve Nisley and the Rollins Mennonite School please stand up, and if the members could please recognize those in the east balcony. Thank you.
Members of the Senate, we have a double honor here today. We have our senior senator, Mike Enzi, here to address the Senate. He has served in the Wyoming House from 1987 to 1996, and also served in the Wyoming Senate from 1992 to 1996. I don't know how he did that. Whoever wrote this wrong. It's a great privilege to have him. He is a true workhorse for us back in Washington. And without him as our senior senator, leading our delegation, I'm not sure that we'd be in the place where we can combat some of the things that we've seen going on. So with that, please welcome United States Senator Mike Enzi.
Well, if you get some more, I can do it too. Mr. President, I too would ask for the privilege of the floor.
You are more than welcome.
It's always great to be back here, but it's also great to have my family with me. Diana's in the back there with two of my grandkids, Lily and Trey. And many of you have seen Trey because every year that I've been here since he was born, he's come. Now he gets out of school to do it, but it's always a pleasure for me to have them along, and it's always great to be here with my fellow senators. I actually got to spend 5 years in the House and 5 years in the Senate. It's a kind of an unusual arrangement, but after I got elected the third time in the House and served 1 year, Kelly resigned here as our state senator, and I got the appointment, so I came over 1 year and then got reelected for a 4-year term and got to serve 5 years here. And this was just a tremendous education, as was the House. I always reflect back on the very first bill that I brought to the House. It was a really simple bill, although I learned to say that it was a simple bill, just a little 3-line bill on unemployment. And in the House committee, it got amended 3 times. On the floor, it got amended twice. Came over here in the Senate committee, it got amended 2 more times. On the floor, it didn't get amended. But what I noticed from that whole process was that every one of those amendments that passed made it a better bill. People saw unintended consequences that I didn't have in my background, but they did. And that's why we have 90 people that look the bills over and work it through the process, and that's quite frankly why we're supposed to have 535 in Washington that do that. We're not getting to do any amendments in Washington right now, neither by the Democrats or the Republicans, and consequently the legislation is getting bogged down. I want to thank you for being a part of the Energy Council. I was part of the Energy Council when I was here. I still rely on the Energy Council. There is this little war on coal that's going on in the United States, and I'm busy building some coalitions out there among some other states. Quite a few of the coal states have about 20% unemployment right now, and it's because of what's happened with their coal. We have a little advantage with the clean coal that we have in Wyoming, but it's coming for Wyoming as well, unless we can reverse the trend. And that Energy Council is somebody that I can call on. They're from both the red states and the blue states. Most legislation isn't by red state or blue state. It's by issue. It's by region. You have to build a coalition if you want to pass something. So I work on that, and I also use my 80% rule, which I developed while I was in the Wyoming legislature. Okay.
It's on.
I notice that they make things much easier for the senators over in the House. You have to push a button before you can talk. But the way my 80% rule works, I found that you can visit civilly with people about 80% of the issues. Not 100%, but 80%. And if you stick to that 80%, things can be pretty good. You might be able to find a bill that you can find common ground that's 80%. You probably won't find one that's 100%. But getting 80% done is better than getting nothing. And that's what happens in Washington. We get to concentrating on that 10% that each party has gotten into the weeds on for years. Some bills have been out there 10, 12, 15 years. And it always comes down to the same point, the same arguments, the same weeds that destroy it. And if you can distract them from the 20% and get them to concentrate on the 80%, it can get finished. And I know that works here. Heck, that even works in people's personal lives. If you're talking to your wife, you probably know a few things that you don't want to bring up unless you want to have a long argument, and probably no resolution. On the other hand, there's 80% of the things that'll make things grow and get better. So I hope you'll apply that here. I want to congratulate you on the way that you've handled funds for Wyoming. And I just saw an article that pointed out how much Wyoming has. I'm hoping that does not make it back to Washington. They love to steal our money out there. Yeah. But I do remember that the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund was put in place before I was in the House or the Senate. That was our pledge to future generations that as the minerals disappeared, there'd be something that they would get out of the same deal. And I've been pleased that the way that's been protected and built. And of course, there's the $3 billion in the Permanent Land Fund and 1 6 billion in workers' compensation. When I was here, we were making reforms in workers' comp because it was in the hole. So obviously you've done a good job at that. $557 million in the Hathaway Scholarship Fund. And of course, that's something that Senator Brasso got to work on when he was here and is proud of and should be proud of. I've got to mention that it's just a delight to work with our delegation in Washington because we were all trained here, you know, in the Senate. Cynthia and I got a little training over in the House, too. But it makes a huge difference. We can transition to the federal process. Of course, we know where the federal process could be much better. And John and I just put in a bill in the Senate to require that all the bills be single topic. That would save us a lot of time, and we'd actually get more done. And it would save money. I put that on my Facebook, and I got 20,000 hits from across the nation. So obviously the people of America think that's a pretty good idea, too. So maybe we'll make some progress with that. But we do work together, and because they know that Wyoming has so much money, we've been robbed a few times, as you know. And part of what our delegation does is try and restore those funds. Abandoned mine land money, when I went to Washington, had been held in a trust fund for us for years. And I asked them how to get that money out of there. And they said, well, you got to put some money in. I said, I never heard of a trust fund like that. Well, I finally got an opportunity to put that on as an amendment to a bill and convince all of my colleagues, it was actually one-on-one, not through a speech, that That was a debt owed to Wyoming, and it would be much better if they paid off their debt and had it owed to the United States people. And that was a good enough argument that we got a supermajority and got the funds released over a 7-year period. And of course, we got those for 5 years. I don't want you to think we didn't have a fight on them. Each and every year, we had to get a supermajority to keep those funds flowing. But they finally figured out that if they did it in a conference in the dark of night, they could steal it from us. And they did. That was just an up or down vote then on transportation. And of course, everybody wants transportation. So they stole those funds for a 10-year period. To build 2 years' worth of highways. We have been able to restore $60 million of that, and that's because our delegation, again, and I really have to congratulate Cynthia. John and I get to work the 100 senators together. That's just 50 apiece. She's got 435 people, and they all know her, and they know they better listen to her, and they do. So what we pass in the Senate, she gets done in the House. I wish we could say that what she gets done in the House, we get done in the Senate, but the House people call the Senate the place where bills go to die. And they frequently do, but there was a little helium problem in the United States. You might remember that. Maybe you tried to get some balloons for a party, and they didn't have any helium. Well, it's a bigger problem for X-rays because it's necessary for that. The military has a huge need for helium. And, of course, I tell people that our delegation saved the Macy's Day Parade because we got that helium released. But what was in that bill, and I guess this wouldn't work under a single-topic bill, but what we had in that bill was $60 million of Wyoming's money coming back for abandoned mine land. There was also a little provision in there that there'd be a reduction in Trona rates of 2%, and then there was some secure rural schools money. And that secure rural schools is what the federal government pays school districts where the timbering isn't allowed to be done anymore. And one of the things we've got to be sure that doesn't happen is that there's a secure rural schools based on coal or any other kind of energy. There is an effort out there to make that happen. Another way that they tried to steal money, of course, was the sequester on federal mineral royalties. They said that the half that the federal government gets, that's revenue. But the half that goes back to the states, that's an expenditure. So we get to take 5 3/10%. I went to work and started circulating a bill to get that money back and was having tremendous success. I even had one state signed up that was only going to get $69 back. But as long as they vote with me, I don't care. And that gained enough momentum that the federal government said, no, that was a mistake. We're not going to take that 5 3/10% out of your federal mineral royalties. We still have a little 2% problem there that we're working. And then, of course, in the budget bill, again, we don't do it like you. In 20 days, you can balance a budget. We don't even start on one for 9 months. And then it's after the time that we're supposed to have a budget in place. So government gets shut down. That's why it gets shut down. We don't have our work done. Well, when they finally did get it done, they did an omnibus bill and they took our PILT money. Not our PILT money. Everybody's payment in lieu of taxes money. 1,900 counties in 49 states. That's a little easier one to lobby than the other ones. And so we made some progress on that, and that wound up in the farm bill. So payment in lieu of taxes will be paid this year, and we'll have to continue to fight it each and every year. But I kind of like the bill that we were circulating because what it would do is recognize the way that taxes are handled in the counties, and that's that if people don't pay their taxes, a lien's put on the property, and then the property is sold. And you can see what applications that would have for Wyoming. We'll probably work that one some more. But I do thank you for your service and all the hard work that you put in here. I know how incredibly difficult it is because it's compressed into such a short time period. And I know that there are a lot of illnesses that happen during the time, and there are a few frayed nerves. But you do an outstanding job, and I hope you'll keep that up. I know that you'll keep it up. Wyoming depends on it, and I suspect that you get some enjoyment from the successes that you have and the work that you're able to do. I'm going to suggest a book. I'm so pleased that it still starts with a prayer and a pledge in both the Senate and the House. There's a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And I was given that in August of 2001. And it's a little prayer that's lost in Chronicles, just four lines. And the first line points out that you need to ask for blessings. God has a whole bunch in store for you, but you got to ask for them. And the second line is where you ask for more work. And the third line is where you ask for God to help you with the more work that he gives you. And, of course, the fourth one is where you ask that you be kept from evil so that you don't cause pain. Well, I told you that was 2001. I finished reading that book four times, which is what you're supposed to do, just before 9/11. And the Senate had changed hands so that the majority was now in the Democrats' hands. It opened up a spot on foreign relations. I was given that spot on foreign relations. There was a committee that evidently nobody wanted because as the new guy, I got to be the ranking member on that committee. And then 9/11 happened and everybody said, how come he got terrorism? So I got to be part of the United Nations effort as an accountant to follow the money and see what could be done. And that was a tremendous experience. We had 130 countries that helped us track down terrorists. They followed the money for us until the terrorists found out we were doing that. And in some of those countries, people were arrested and tried and executed. You never heard about it because that's how it happens in other countries and would never happen in our country. But there was a tremendous unification of the world behind us at that time, and there can be again. So thank you for the work that you do. Keep up the good work. I'm sorry that I took so much time. I know you got a lot of amendments. I looked at the list of bills. We can't even handle a bill every 3 weeks in the United States Senate, but you handle several every day, and that's how you keep Wyoming going. Keep up the good work, and thank you for letting me be here.
Thank you. On behalf of the Wyoming Legislature, I'd like to thank Senator Enzi and Representative Lummis for your hard work in addressing the legislature here today. All right. Senator Burns, you... All right. We are at that order of business, consideration of rules. Rules? We don't need no stinking rules. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, there are two amendments out there. They're in your red package of amendments, if you haven't. And I've moved the First Amendment for consideration, which is Senate Rule 13-2, I move that the proposed amendment for 13, or that's a Senate Rule 13-2 be adopted and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amendment which clarifies that the deadlines that for bill cutoffs and those technical things apply to all the bills except the budget. So the budget we run a little bit differently. This was suggested by the staff to conform our rules to our current practice. So I'd ask your support of this amendment.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Oh, sorry. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, as I read the underlying rule, after the deadline, you have to have unanimous consent, I suppose, unless you have two-thirds to suspend the rules. Is that an accurate reading, that you could, after the deadline, suspend the rules with two-thirds and then proceed?
Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I think the answer to that would be yes. I'd have to go back and look at it. Caught on my feet on that one, but I think you're accurate about that. I mean, we say this is what you're going to do, but it is a rule, and the rule could be suspended by another process.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just on the one we just, on rule, or proposed rule 13-2, If we could just have a little explanation about what's different between this and what would we anticipate the difference would be between this and what we're doing now, if we could.
Somebody want to address that?
President, the only difference is that between our current practice and this one is the new language is the bolded underline on the top. So if you, I'm confirming that I checked a little while ago, but the language is the same, but it's, the only change is the bold underlined exception. The rest of the language is the same as the existing rule.
Further discussion. You've heard the majority floor leader's motion. Amending the rules require a two-thirds majority vote for adoption. So the chief clerk will call the roll on this particular motion.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll. Emmerich, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Von Flatern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote to close, 30 ayes.
By your vote, Amendment 13-2 to the Senate rules has been adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have any more amendments?
I do, and I would move the next change. So I would move the adoption of Joint Rule 2-4, which is in your packet. I move that and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a pragmatic rule that change, which addresses the issue of what happens if you vote for non-concurrence on a joint report. The other side won't meet with you. This is what we should call the coward's way out. We come back and say, well, in that case, we'll vote to recede from our non-concurrence and we adopt the changes. So we pound our hands, we say we won't do it. The other side says, well, that's fine. We're not going to meet. We come back and decide that, if that's the way it's going to be, we'll recede from our non-concurrence and adopt their changes anyway. It is actually provided for in Mason's rules, but it's not been in our rules. It allows you that extra opportunity to say, well, things didn't work out by the conference committee the way we thought. They won't appoint, or we can't reach an agreement. But given the alternative of no bill, let's go ahead and recede from our non-concurrence. It's a tool in the box, but it's you hope you never have to use it, and it's a little cowardly, but it's the way it is.
Discussion? You've heard the majority floor leader's motion.
No, it's a
cowardly. This rule also requires a two-thirds majority vote, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, District 2.
Aye.
Anderson, District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns,
aye.
Case,
aye.
Christensen,
aye.
Coe,
aye.
Cooper,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Dockstader,
aye.
Driscoll,
aye.
Emmerich,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Hines,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote close. 30 ayes.
By your vote, Joint Rule 2-4 has been adopted. Senator Escobel.
Mr. President, may I have a privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Fellow senators, around this floor are students and staff of the Wyoming TRIO and GEAR UP programs. Would you please stand up, those of you that are with the TRIO and GEAR UP program? They're here today to raise awareness and of educational access issues that confront under-resourced students. They're federally funded projects that provide assistance support to first-generation college students, students with limited income, students traditionally underrepresented in higher education, and students with disabilities to aspire and gain admission to and succeed in higher education. Each year, the 12 Army TRIO programs and statewide GEAR UP programs serve over 6,000 students. College and high school students are here today representing TRIO and GEAR UP programs from Casper, Cheyenne, Laramie, Powell, Sheridan, Midwest, and Torrington. The students thank you for your support of their educational goals. Would you join me in welcoming them to the Senate?
Yeah. Welcome to the Senate. I hope you enjoy your day. Introduction and reading of House bills. House Bill 4. First reading, do I have to do that, or do I just sign them? They're red, right?
They're red, yeah.
Okay.
House Bill number 4, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee, Pest Control Compact, and Act Relating to Pest Control Compact. It passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 4 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 2. First reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 2, sponsored by the Education Committee, Bonded Indebtedness Mill Levy Supplement, an act relating to school districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 2 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 41. First reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 41, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Emergency Medical Technician Pension Plan, an act relating to emergency medical. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill 41 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 46, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 46, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Public Employees Pension Plans Contributions, and Act Relating to Public Employees. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 48, noes 11, excused 1.
House Bill 46 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 5, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 5, sponsored by the Education Committee, Education Required School Bus Video Equipment 2, an act relating to school buses. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1.
House Bill 5 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. House Bill 6, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 6, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Domestic Assault and Battery, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 6 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 7, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 7, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, Unlawful Entry into Occupied Structure, and Act Relating to Crimes and Offenses. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 7 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 9, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 9, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee. Bodily Injury and Serious Bodily Injury, an act relating to crimes and offenses. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 51, noes 9.
House Bill 9 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 10, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 10, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee. Water Well Permits, an act relating to water. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 10 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 22, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 22, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. Mineral Tax Audit Interest Rate, an act relating to revenue and taxation. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 54, noes 5, excused 1.
House Bill 22 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. House Bill 24, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 24, sponsored by the Transportation Committee. Registration Fees, House Trailers, an act relating to registration of motor vehicles. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 56, noes 3, excused 1.
House Bill 24 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 34, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 34, sponsored by the Minerals Committee. Solid Waste Cease and Transfer Eligibility, an act relating to Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Cease and Transfer Grant and Loan Program. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 34 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 40, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 40, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. State Employees and Officials Group Insurance Membership, an act relating to the administration of government. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 51, noes 8, excused 1.
House Bill 40 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 51, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 51, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, Fireman's Pension Plan Benefits, an act relating to Fireman's Pension Plan. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 52, noes 6, excused 1, conflict 1.
House Bill 51 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 32, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 32, sponsored by the Travel Committee, Snowmobile Permit and Registration Fees, and Act Relating to Snowmobiles. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 48, noes 11, excused 1.
House Bill 32 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 38, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 38, sponsored by Representative Barlow, Taxidermy Licenses, an act relating to taxidermists. Pass the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 38 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. House Bill 25, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill Number 25, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, Funeral Service Practitioners Act, an act relating to embalmers, funeral directors, undertakers, crematories, and a whole bunch more. Passed the House on third reading, 56, noes 2, excused 2.
House Bill 25 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations. Bills on second reading. Senate File 28, second reading of the House, a Senate file.
Post-conviction actual innocence.
We have an amendment. The reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28.
Senate File 28, second reading amendment number 1, page 5, line 3.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28. Mr. President, when the committee worked this bill, we had a discussion. It's on page 5 at the top, line 3. The amount of time for this is the bill on exoneration. The amount of time that it would take a district attorney to respond to one of these. And understand these can be very, very old cases. Except for a district attorney, just to locate all the people, to locate the files, people retire, they move on. So it's an arduous task. So rather than 60 days, we're changing that to 120 days to give that district attorney about twice as much time to go research these kind of petitions. I'd be happy to answer any questions and ask for a favorable reaction.
Any discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Schiffer's motion to adopt second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 28 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. Senate File 28, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 66, second reading of the Senate File.
Omnibus Water Bill Construction.
Senate File 66, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 67, second reading of the Senate File.
Administrative Rules Streamlining.
Senate File 67, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 68, second reading of the Senate File.
Obsolete Laws.
Senate File 68, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 71, second reading of the Senate File.
Reversion of Appropriations.
Senate File 71, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate File 75, second reading of the Senate File.
Environmental Protection Agency's Actions 2.
Senate File 75, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 76, second reading of the Senate File.
Unemployment Insurance Worker Misconduct.
Senate File 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 92, second reading of the Senate File.
WCCC Director Ex Officio Memberships 2.
Senate File 92, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection is so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution 1, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
Regulation of Carbon Dioxide Emissions.
Senate Joint Resolution 1, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the resolution be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business, consideration of bills on third reading and final passage. Do you have a consent list?
I do. Mr. President, I move the following third reading consent list. Senate File 4, School Finance Local Resources. Senate File 5, Teachers National Certification Pay Incentive. Senate File 63, Sexual Assault Protection Orders. Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, and Senate File 72, Burglary.
Would any member of the Senate like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Case.
Remove burglary, Mr. President. I'll have a further request later.
Okay.
Senate File 64, Mr. President.
Okay. Senate File 64, Public Health Nursing, and Senate File 72 have been removed from the consent list. Senator Perkins. Senate File 63, Sexual Assault Protection Orders is removed from the consent list.
Let's just remove one more.
Trying to get all their buttons off now. All right. So, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 4, School Finance, Local Resources, and Senate File 5, Teachers, National Certification Pay Incentive. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Ross.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 4, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 4, 30 ayes. Senate File 5, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 5, 29 ayes, 1 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 4, School Finance, Local Resources, and Senate File 5, Teachers, National Certification Pay Incentive, have passed the Senate. Senate File 63, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 63, sponsored by Senator Hastert, Sexual Assault Protection Orders, an act relating to public health and safety, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. President, I ask that this be called off just because I want us to think about this for just a second. I also wanted to make clear that I spent some time working with the bill sponsor, and we've amended this. I think we've removed a number of the significant issues with it. But, Mr. President, the one issue that I'm still struggling with the most on this and why I'm struggling with this vote is that in this thing, this is an incredibly serious topic and an incredibly serious subject. And certainly sexual assault is very serious for the victim. I don't think that any of us have any sympathy for those individuals who would perpetrate upon innocent victims sexual assaults. And again, as I think we've stated before, Mr. President, that, you know, if these things never got abused, there wouldn't be a problem. You know, we could pass this on, we could tighten it up so tight that you could beat it like a drum and no one would complain. But I think what we find in talking with some individuals, even in community college arena, you find some situations where these allegations are turned around and they're levied against individuals who are actually innocent. And they're done for various reasons, because of fear of retribution by a parent or a boyfriend, or because someone's been jilted, or because of a myriad of other reasons. And so there, as you try and find the balance, the one thing and the problem I have with this bill, just to cut to the chase, is that in this very serious nature, is even though it's a civil action, it's going to be and could very well lead to criminal charges. And in doing that, a person is faced with a situation where they have to step forward to defend their livelihood and protect and defend their good name, And they're forced to essentially waive their Fifth Amendment right if they're going to defend themselves against this protection order. And when you do that, you have a constant right to remain silent, and not so long as you can stand the pain, Mr. President. It's supposed to be an opportunity to remain silent. And here, there's going to be incredible pressure on individuals. Again, I'm not concerned about those who have done that, but in those situations where you find abuse of these things, the person who is now going to be forced to break that code is going to choose between his career, potentially his reputation, or potentially criminal charges and being charged and going through that process criminally. And for that reason, I think we just need to think carefully about how we vote on this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I know that there's a few concerns out there, and I really appreciate my good colleague from Casper and all the efforts and works and that he put into it. And I know that he still had some concerns, and I know there's a few other concerns out there. But you know, just in some of the instances, I think that I think there's a few steps being missed, and that the fact that. You know, that someone has to know that this kind of thing, the protection order is available. And then, really, then having to go to court in front of a judge to say, beyond 51%, more than likely than not, having the preponderance of the evidence. But then I want to leave you with one other thing, and I'm not going to delay this much longer. Is just think about the wisdom of our good senator, the U.S. senator just gave us. That you find that 80%, there's always maybe 20% in that bill that you may not like, but you found that 80%, and 80% of this bill exists in statute today, or more than 80%, and find that 80%, find that common ground. I think we're there. I think the great work that we've done on this is good, so just consider that.
You ready for the question? Senator Scott.
Mr. President, for the sponsor of the bill, if 80% of it exists in statute today, why do we need the bill?
Senator Hastert, for your second time.
President, good senator, the language that we took from the domestic violence protection orders is what was pulled directly over to allow for sexual assault.
Now are you ready for the question? Senate File 63, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
Aye.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper? Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
No.
Hines?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Bonflatern? President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 20 ayes, 10 noes.
Senate File 63, having received the affirmative vote of the majority members elected to the Senate, Senate File 63 has passed the Senate. Senate File 64, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 64, sponsored by the Labor Committee, Public Health Nursing, and Act Relating to Public Health, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senator Meyer?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. What?
Did you ask for this bill to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I pulled this off just so we could have a little bit of discussion on it. kind of reacquaint ourselves with the bill. You know, essentially, all of this work is being done now. The counties are paying for it, and they're just asking to come back in and reinvigorate an old program. It's for a little over $400,000 now, but it'll probably go up to about $1.6 million. And I kind of look at some of the counties involved in what we're doing as a state, you know, for health care in those areas, and especially in the center county. There's over 15,000 clients served by the Wyoming Medical Center up there, and that's a pretty big commitment. It's multi-million dollar commitment to the state for health, necessarily not public health, but it is a huge commitment. And I just kind of feel like this program's going to grow and grow, and it's kind of a time right now, Mr. Chairman, that I feel that we need to take a real close look at this and ask ourselves the question if this is the best place that we want to spend our money in health care. So I'd leave it at that, Mr. President.
Mayor Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for this bill, Mr. President, it's been well known for many years that public health has been the most effective way that we have fought disease in this country, that we have extended people's lifespan, people's healthy lifespan. And we've had a long-standing problem, Mr. President, in the public health system in our state where just petty managerial squabbles have gotten in the way of effective management. We've been trying for years to get this fixed, and this bill represents the efforts of an ongoing task force put together by the County Commissioners Association that has made major progress. What it will do for most of your counties is we're going to have a memorandum of understanding process that will deal with some of the long-standing issues that have hurt programs in your counties. Look at the top of page 3, the memorandum of understanding may specify how the state and local employees, and there's a mixture, and that's a problem, but how they will be supervised and disciplined. They will specify the hours that the offices will be open. Holidays will be observed. That's been just a chronic sore point in many counties. Specify which resources will be furnished by the state and which by the county. There has evolved here a 65-35 split between state and county financing. Having those things in a formal memorandum with authority to answer some of those questions will improve the program in most of your counties. Then there's a provision in the bill for contracting for services that will allow the counties that are not now participating to come in. That would be a big help because the testimony we heard was that not all the public health functions were able to be done, and that's what gave rise to the appropriation. It's necessary. Mr. President, this bill represents a major step forward in a chronic and a very important part of our health efforts in this state where there have been chronic difficulties, and the County Commissioners Association did excellent work that led to this bill. And I would strongly urge the Senate to adopt it.
Any further discussion? Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President. The good tall senator from Casper brought up a lot of good points. And just want to remind that this isn't really an escalation. It's really, it's not even bringing back to the level we were at a few years ago. When the two counties dropped out, the Department of Health nixed that public health budget and brought it down by that amount because they weren't spending that money. So the 1.6 that has been referenced would only bring it back to where we were and get this state oversight, which is critical, back in those counties. And if any of the other counties choose to participate, it's simply a shift of whether they're state employees or county employees, but no new money. So it's no new money for the other counties. It's restoring the funds that we had. And as I stated, I think, on the first reading, was that had we had the management in the counties that are present today and the leadership in the Department of Health that we have today, if we had all of that at the time the issues were being presented or that were of concern, none of this would have happened, because they've done a great job in finding a path forward and working together to eliminate the issues that they had, the management issues they had.
Further discussion. Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, essentially, we've heard from the two counties what this affects. This is about as close to special legislation as I've seen in a while, even though it is a statewide program that only affects two counties in the state. And essentially, those two counties, Mr. Chairman, are both over the statewide average revenue if you throw out the outlying counties. And that revenue picture is a little over $603 per capita. So it's not like the counties can't afford it. In fact, I'll agree with the good tall senator from Natrona County is that public health is one of the most important ways to prevent health care costs increasing. And in fact, these counties are actually stepping up and they're doing their part, and they had the public health mechanism in place in both these counties, Mr. President. So, you know, vote it up, vote it down. The job's already getting done. We just have to make up our mind whether the state's going to reach in there and pay for it.
Ready for the question? Oh, sorry, Senator Kraft.
That's all right. Thank you so much, Mr. President. I don't want to belabor this. I don't want to reiterate the points that have already been made. I just want to provide one answer to the it's just two counties. It's not just two counties. There are two counties that opted out of the system. This is true. These two counties have had to significantly reduce some of their public health nursing programs because they can't afford them, not on their own. That's true, two counties. But the entire state is involved in this. The County Commissioners Association is involved with this because while there are just two counties that have opted out and a third county that had never, ever participated, there are the remaining 20 counties that could take advantage of the memorandums of understanding, could choose to do their services differently, could choose to avail themselves of other services, could make decisions to impact public health nursing in Wyoming. This is a totally voluntary kind of thing. The county commissioners have spent a great deal of time putting forth what, in my opinion, is an excellent piece of legislation, and I would urge your approval. Thank you.
Senator Schiffer,
I have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
Mr. President, it's a longstanding custom in the Senate when we work second and third readings that the person that is bringing the action gets the last shot. You only get two times to speak, and everyone can speak at least once, and everyone can speak twice. But the custom is to give the person who's bringing the action the last shot. I urge my colleagues to respect that custom. It leads to a healthy debate, and it leads to a fair debate, and it's worked for many years. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Schiffer. Senate File 64 have been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Amrick.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Hicks, Hines, Johnson, Landon, Meyer, Nicholas, Nutting, Perkins, Peterson, Rothfuss, Schiffer, Scott, Bonflatern, President Ross.
Aye.
Closing vote closed. 28 ayes, 2 noes.
Senate File 64, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 64 has passed the Senate. Senate File 72, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 72, sponsored by Senator Case, burglary, and act relating to crimes and offenses, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, I would respectfully ask to be laid back for one more day. There's an amendment being drafted, and I'm going to take some art lessons, Mr. President.
Right. Without objection, Senate File 72 will be laid back until tomorrow. Senate File 1, second reading of the Senate file.
General Government Appropriations 2.
In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1B, second reading will be continued. No, that's not one. I don't have to say anything here, do I? All right. We have some amendments.
Yeah, we do.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Before we get into the debate on the budget bill, just a couple things to reacquaint the body with, and I'm sure you all remember and have your golden rods, and we haven't done any for the last couple of days because thank you Mr. President. I'll start over again. The reason that, what I want to talk about a little bit is you have the golden rod. The most recent one we have was for Monday the 17th, and not a lot of things have changed since that date. But you can look at there, Mr. President, and you can see on page one when the Joint Appropriations Committee submitted Senate File 1 to this body for deliberation, we presented to you a balanced surplus, if you will, of $27 million. And you can see that if you look about the middle of the page, we're now in the red of $2.3 million based on what we have brought to you in Senate File 1. And the reason I stepped out of off the Senate floor was to ask, and in the amendments that we have today, not a big number, but if we vote for them, it's $68 million more. So I just want to bring that to the attention of everyone in this body, and we'll have some good, healthy debate on these amendments. And I will tell you that your Senate Appropriations Committee has put in a very good, hard 2 months down there and working here to come to you with what we consider a responsible bill. It brings into consideration concerns we had about building for the future and looking at some possible revenue shortfalls in 2 or 3 or 4 years, not growing government to the level now that we'll have to come around and do what we've done 2 out of the last 4 years, as which we had 10% cuts 4 years ago, and last year we had to come in with 6.42% cuts. And so I think one of the worst things we can do is people to run the state of Wyoming has come with more budget expenditures now and then turn around in 2 or 3 years and have cuts. So I just bring this all to the body's attention. You're all very much aware of it. And Mr. President, I look forward to the discussion on, I think there's about 10 amendments.
You were dreaming. Okay. First Amendment. Reading clerk will read Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1.
Senate File 1, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, Budget, Section 100, Office of the Governor.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, I move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, what this does, it goes into the tribal liaison area. First of all, it provides for biennial funding in the budget before you. There's only 1 year's funding. It provides for the additional $200,000, which is the biennial funding. It also goes in on page 9 where we talk about the relationship between the governor's office and the tribes, particularly the liaison, and lays down a blueprint or deliverables, if you'd like. That seems to be the way we describe these things, to try and enhance the relationship or the communication between the two tribes and the state of Wyoming. Right now, that relationship is under stress, and it's not people. These are very important issues, very tough issues to solve, with some external factors coming in and making it worse. These are difficult. But we need to maintain that dialogue. It's terribly important for the state as a whole and for our colleagues in Fremont County. What I do, I go in and say, trying to line out what needs to be done, and this has to be done before we meet again. And if the whole thing falls apart, we can go back in and have a supplemental budget amendment and pull the funding out, if that's what you want to do. But I don't think it's wise to start a process of opening a dialogue, letting one of the parties know that they're going to be terminated in 12 months. I'll go through the deliverables, encourage the development of mutual respect, understanding, and leadership relations between the Indian tribes and the state of Wyoming. Number 2, protocols and a process for communication between the tribes and the state, including a liaison in the office of the governor to resolve communications problems. I think that's critical. If we got a problem, let's solve it. A working document including an accord or memorandum which clearly outlines the relationship between the tribes and the state. Let's everybody know what our footing is. And finally, a systematic review process for tribal liaisons and state government to assess successes, opportunities, and future issues, including relationships with the Select Committee on Tribal Relations and the leadership of the Wyoming Legislature. That's it in a nutshell. These are tough times. What we need to do is repair that, the ability to dialogue, and let's set about resolving the problems. I'd be happy to answer any questions and ask for a favorable reaction.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to divide the amendment.
Okay.
And the first division would be through line 10, and the second division would be through the remainder of the second reading amendment number 1.
That is divisible. First division is lines 1 through 10, I guess, or lines 8, 9, and 10. Second division is the remainder.
Thank you, Mr. President.
That's the first part.
Mr. President, I would speak against this portion of the amendment, the purpose behind this amendment was to, there's been a lot of discussion about where this started, where it had along the road to get to where it is today, and initially it was something that was in fact funded half by the tribes and half by the state. Then we decided, in fact, before we had that, it wasn't even funded at all by the state. That's how far this goes back. Then it was 50-50. Then the state decided to pick up 100% of it. And then they were located in the governor's office. And then because of just the fact that it wasn't working, whatever, then it was decided that they would not be in the governor's office. And since that time, there's just been some good discussion about the validity of this. And I approach this like anything else. We have state general fund money. There's a reason for it. There's a purpose for spending it. And I would ask the body to resist this. There's been a lot of progress already made because we've been talking about it. But if we do this and we do the second part of this amendment, we can come back in a supplemental budget. If things have worked out, we can put the money back in. I think this holds everyone's feet to the fire, so I'd ask you to resist this portion of the amendment.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I'd like to ask a technical question with regard to the money here. Is this going to be 100 series money, or is it going to be 900 series money? And I know the sponsor's amendment was at one time chairman of appropriations and understands the ins and outs of that sort of thing. The differences between are they regular employees or are we contracting with them, which is what the deliverables part of the discussion suggests to me. And I think it's important we understand what we're talking about here.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, thank you very much. These are contracts. This is a contract the state of Wyoming has with the tribal governments to provide for this office. And I would urge us to defeat or to support this part of the division, Mr. President. You know, it's just a really small amount of money in the big picture of the issues that we have going with the tribes right now. And I just think this sends the wrong signal. I'm proud to serve as your chairman of your Select Committee on Tribal Relations, Mr. President. We're proud of the work we've done. We find the liaisons are doing their job, Mr. President. We've got one liaison that's new and kind of learning the ropes, and I think some of this comes about because of that. Mr. President, this is a good program. I think it worked the best when they were in the governor's office, but, you know, things on the reservation don't always work like we want them to work. But that's not what it's about. This is about liaison. This is about keeping the dialogue open and always searching for better relations, Mr. President.
Further discussion on Division 1 of this amendment. Does increase funds and therefore requires a roll call vote.
Anderson District 2? Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
No.
Hines? Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
no.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Hastert, no to aye. Kraft, no to aye. Closing. Vote closed. 7 ayes, 23 noes.
Division number 1 of Amendment number 1 has failed the Senate. We're now on Division number 2. Any further discussion with regards to Division number 2? Senator Nicholas.
Could we clarify what Division 2 is, the lines?
It's the whole amendment other than lines 8, 9, and 10.
Mr. President, the issue I think then is this goes back to the sponsors of the amendment, if you tie in lines 12 through 19 with the balance of the amendment, I think you may inadvertently delete the one-year expenditure so that your $200,000 would then be a biennial appropriation. You'd have to spend $100,000 and $100,000. Why don't you take a moment to look at that, because this was intended to add in $200,000, then you deleted this first sentence, which made it an annual appropriation. Now what you're doing is leaving in I think what's in the second part of the amendment is deleting that first language in paragraph A, which would turn the $200,000 into a biennial appropriation. Let's just give that a moment and make sure that we may have to further divide this to make sure that we don't create a one-year appropriation into a two-year.
Senator Schiffer?
Mr. President, I believe the majority floor leader is correct. And in order to make the language flow, I think we have to include on the amendment, it's line 19. And line on page 8, line 27, we need to keep in the budget bill as part of part 1, the after we divided it. The majority floor leader is correct. That's the language that makes it a one-year appropriation.
Okay. Can we do an additional?
I would suggest that that's a technical correction.
Yes.
We voted on the substance in part one. And the substance was to add the $200,000. That went down, but in order to make it work, I would suggest we don't need to vote again. It's a technical correction in the wording to make sure we're back where we were addressing it without the $200,000. That's what it does. And
Why don't you withdraw 12 through 18, move 19, and then A becomes a technical correction. Does that make sense? So you withdraw this so we don't vote on it. And that should be right through here, really, because after you achieve... No, right here.
It's got to be done.
19. So if you withdraw that and then vote on this and the A...
Good way to do it.
Did you guys figure it out?
Yep, we got to figure it out, Mr. President. And if anybody can follow this... you get a gold star for the rest of the day. Mr. President, what I'd request, barring objection, is to withdraw in the amendment that I'm proposing, lines 12 through 18. Okay. I'm withdrawing that from this amendment, which does the same thing as putting that word back in, and that way it'll work. I assure you, technically it's brilliant. Okay. Trust me.
So lines 12 through 18 have been withdrawn.
Yes.
We are now on the balance of the amendment.
Yes, sir.
And is there any further discussion concerning the balance of the amendment? Hearing none, Senator Nicholas.
Yes, sir. My only question, I'd like just to have a little bit of discussion with respect to what the message is that the Senate is sending out. And, I mean, if it's both parties go get psychotherapy and come together, that we can do that. If there is a deliverable actually articulated that we think that the message is you're deficient, you have more to improve, then that's a fair statement to do. I mean, I think both parties are pretty capable folks, so let's just have a discussion in terms of what are we trying to accomplish, what's the direct message we're sending to both parties to this effort.
Senator Schiffer, for your first time on this division.
On this division. Yes, Mr. President. I think what we're trying to lay out here, and that's why I brought it as a second reading amendment, is to say we've got to do better in terms of the dialogue between the state of Wyoming government and the tribes. As I said earlier, these are tough issues. I understand that. But just because they're tough issues, that's why we need a better dialogue. And if you've got the perception on either side, and that's from the governor's side or from either one of the tribal liaisons, that we're not communicating, we're not being open, maybe it's trust, I don't know, but whatever. At this time in our history, we need that. And it appears not to be there. It appears that it just simply is not working. And it doesn't matter where you house them. If the dialogue isn't there, the communication isn't there, then we all lose in this business. So that's what I'm trying to do is make sure that it's there and make sure that it continues. And that's why the lines on line 38 is if it starts to break down, somebody's got to say, wait a minute, time out, we're not getting the job done. What went wrong? How'd we go off the road? So that's what it does. It isn't saying anybody's wrong, but it's obvious it's not working right now, and we need to have it work in this day and age.
Further discussion? Ready for the question on the balance of Senator Burns.
Mr. President, just so I understand here,
Here's withdrawn up to page, up to line 18.
Through the, yeah.
I would think he'd want to withdraw up to line 19. Otherwise, it leaves the first two lines of page 9 just hanging out there.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, what that says in the language in that, it just says that the governor may come back and ask for the funding in the next part of that biennium, so I don't think it affects the context of the bill, because that's something he could do anyway. So I think it's okay where it is by deleting 12 through 18 and voting on the rest of it. I don't think it affects the amendment, because what we're doing is taking out what the governor could do anyway.
Okay. There are birds.
Mr. President, it's just not a complete sentence. He's withdrawing the deletion at the bottom of page 8, which says the governor may include a request for funding. That stays in, according to the withdrawal. But then we're deleting the rest of the sentence at the top of page 9, which reads, for this program in his 2015-2016 supplemental budget request, if he is satisfied with the deliverables are being or will be achieved. Either delete the entire sentence or leave the entire sentence in.
I think you're right.
Yeah, Mr. President, that is correct as far as the sentence.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Chairman, once again I stand corrected, but now I have a diagram. Mr. Chairman, I would like to withdraw on line 17. After the word achieved, withdraw the balance of line 17, 18, and 19. No. Yeah. Yeah. And 19.
Okay.
And that would all be in the withdrawal zone, which we know is a favorite place to be.
Okay. All right. So if somebody knows where the withdrawal zone is, please let me know. No, actually, I do.
All right.
So, just so everybody's on track here, we're now voting on balance of the amendment, which is lines 20 through 43. Okay? All those in favor of this portion of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That portion of the amendment has passed. That was the first amendment.
Rock and roll. Want to roll around.
Okay. Next amendment. Senator Johnson.
Are we allowed privilege of the floor during this epic?
Yes, you may have privilege of the floor.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. We have half of a group that is visiting the Capitol today over in the south stands. We have half of a group from Laramie County visiting the Capitol. We have a group from Laramie County visiting the Capitol today, and one half of them are over in the south stands, and if they'll stand up, the south balcony. I'd like you to meet the junior leadership of Laramie County. They're from the high schools all over Laramie County, and their leader hiding, I think, is Rachel Gert. Will you please make them welcome?
Welcome to the Senate. Okay. Next, reading clerk will read in second reading amendment number 56 to Senate File 1.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 56, budgets affected, Section 1, Office of the Governor.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this is puts in into a special health contingency fund in the governor's office, $18.3 million. The reason for the figure is approximately $1.7 million when you trace through all the things in the special contingency that could also be used for this purpose. And the net comes up to $20 million, Mr. President, of which this $18.3 million is new. Mr. President, the reason for this amendment is we are looking at, in the health area, a confluence of risks that is much higher than I have ever seen of losing an institution that we simply cannot do without. And they really fall mostly into three categories: hospitals, both small and medium-sized, nursing homes, and adult DD providers. Speak to the hospitals first, Mr. President. They're facing extreme financial risks right now. Medicare isn't paying full cost, and that's getting worse as the feds cut back to pay for their other things. Medicaid is not paying full cost, and that contributes to their difficulties. They have the ongoing uninsured problem, and they're facing additional competition both from outside the state and from boutique hospitals, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President, in this state that threaten to take away the profitable end of their business that's enabled them to stay open. And if we lose, depending which one, if we lose a medium-sized hospital, the several of them that are at risk in the state, where we then have a great area of the state that is simply without hospital facilities, and you've got a number of conditions, accidents, some of them, strokes, heart attacks, or if you don't get somebody into a hospital to be stabilized in that first hour or so, you're likely to lose them. And we could well wind up with a great swatch of the state, where we've had some close calls already with our hospitals, where we're simply without. And if that happens, Mr. President, if the governor doesn't have a contingency to deal with it, we're likely to be back down here in a special session, because we can't be without those things. Nursing homes, you've got a similar situation, but there Medicaid is the 800-pound gorilla in the room. They're being hurt by some Medicare cutbacks, yes, but Medicaid has chronically underfunded them, and we're about two-thirds of their revenue. We could well lose one of the weaker facilities in this state. The testimony we had in Committee 10 was that some of them were being propped up already and were a drag on the small hospitals that sponsored them, and now the hospitals are going to be in trouble. The adult DD problem is a Medicaid problem. We're doing a major redo. If something comes out a little wrong there, we could lose one of those. Those the governor could probably deal with the existing special contingency fund if he had to. They're not as big as the other ones. But the hospitals and nursing homes, this is a preventive against us being called down there. The amendment requires approval. The rest, the slip board. Only when necessary to preserve them. There's a clear danger we might lose them. You have to be careful to stay within the Constitution to how you do it. And the amendment says the Attorney General has to approve the method that the governor proposes to use to make sure that it's within the requirements of the Wyoming Constitution. Mr. President, that's the amendment. It is significant money. But we are running some special risks that we can't afford to, and it'd be a lot better if the governor can handle it rapidly without having to call us back if one of these things happen. I hope it will not occur, Mr. President. My estimate is about 50-50 as to whether it will or not. So, Mr. President, that's the amendment. I urge the Senate to adopt it.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would hope that we would resist this too-big-to-fail bankruptcy bailout provision. Mr. President, I think that's exactly what it is. There's no sideboards. It's just $18.3 million. that says if any of these people who, through whether it's bad management practices, as it was in one institution in this state where we tried getting some bankruptcy provisions, you know, folks, if we're going to be debtor in possession financing, there's a place for that. You get about anywhere from 23 to 30% interest on your money if you're going to do DIP financing. That's essentially what this is, Mr. President. But we're just saying here's a blank check for all the bad decisions that any of these people would ever made or all the excuses they can come up about why they failed as an institution. A lot of times, Mr. President, I think that it's healthy to have some of these institutions fail, and you can get back in, get new management, and operate a little more efficiently. Some of these folks probably fail because they don't put out a good product. I'm aware of some hospitals that are in that situation where they better step up to the plate and start doing a better job, or people just aren't going to go to them because they don't put out a good product. Mr. President, I would hope we would resist this. I certainly understand that we need to have a healthy, active, viable health system in the state of Wyoming. And if there are some underlying problems that we create ourselves, I think we understand it's a level playing field, and perhaps we take a look at those. But we just don't put a pot of money out there for anybody to grab onto.
Further discussion, Senator Nicholas or Senator Burns?
President, I was just curious. $18.3 million seems like a very specific number. And I was wondering why it isn't $20 million or $15 million. $18.3, what's the magic in that particular figure? Maybe I didn't hear correctly at the beginning of the presentation of the amendment sponsored, but I'm just trying to understand why that particular figure.
Okay. Further discussion. Senator Kraft.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. I would speak on and in favor of this amendment. I hear the comments about businesses failing, and sometimes maybe they fail because they should, because they're not managed well, because they're not run well, because they don't deliver a good product. I would submit to you that the healthcare industry is considerably different than other businesses in the state. I would also submit to you that if the hospital in my particular area fails, we don't have any health care. And in terms of emergency services and in terms of having access for a number of our citizens, I don't want to see that happen. I also don't see that this is a pot of money out there that anybody can get. I see this as in the governor's contingency fund, for health contingency fund, for very specific things: hospitals, nursing homes, and adult DD waivers. Given the specificity of it, given the fact that failing health services impact all of us in the state, I would urge your support of the amendment. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I urge that you oppose the amendment, but I want to talk about it from a little more pragmatic point of view. First of all, if you have a family member that's in an institution that's being cared and any one of these, and they file bankruptcy, it's a stressful time, and we understand that. And I don't think that necessarily we just stand by and watch institutions close without making sure that we're taking care of the individuals that are being cared, the patients. The difficulty is what's the plan? How would we spend state resources to resolve it? And generally speaking, if an institution, let's take a hospital, for example, they announce that they've run out of steam and they want to close on Friday. The first analysis that anybody has to make is that, well, what's causing you to run out of resources, and is it because your debt load is too high? Or whether or not it's because if you reorganized everything, you still couldn't pay on an ongoing basis your daily bills. So that if, for example, you rinsed all of your old debt, you started with a clean slate, could you move forward and in a profitable method? In most instances, we find that that is the case, and frankly, that is the that's the purpose of filing for protection of the bankruptcy code, where you have assets, you have folks, and somebody comes in and says, I can run the institution if I have no debt. I don't have to worry about any of the prior obligations. All I need to know is, do I have a revenue stream moving forward? Now, we have the toolbox for the revenue stream moving forward, because the revenue stream moving forward would be, like most likely be payments that you're receiving through the Medicare and Medicaid systems, and so there's a revenue stream going forward. What tends to happen when we lay out these monies is that it's a prevention from filing bankruptcy, and we end up going in and trying to pay off prior debt, prior creditors, that and it does not change the balance sheet. So if you say, well, I'm $5 million under a hole, if you would come in and pay $5 million off, I could start fresh. But you've just rewarded bad management, you paid off old debt, and you haven't dealt with anything moving forward. And the purpose of the bankruptcy code is to say, we stop it right here. People that lent money before, the old creditors, they may get cents on a dollar. Moving forward on a reorganization or a new ownership on a sale, we start with either zero debt or whatever the assets are worth. And at that point, we have tools to work with it. And we've seen this happen in the past, that as soon as an institution gets in trouble, what they want help for is to pay off old debt, and you get nothing for that. You've heard the word cash for debt or operational cash for debtor in possession. That's after the bankruptcy. But folks, if there is a bankruptcy and there's old debt and there's bad management or even good management, we should not be in the business of cleaning up those obligations. We should be in the business of saying, okay, how do we look forward? And the Department of Health has considerable resources to say, okay, we'll make sure you get payments on a 20-day or 10-day basis. We'll make sure that all your new patients are paid, and so you'll have a revenue stream for new people to come in and take over. So there are solutions. And while the old management will say the world's falling, the world isn't falling. There are remedies available. That's why we have a bankruptcy code.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a comment on this in this amendment, but if I may have privilege of the floor for just a moment.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This debate could go on for a while, and we've got a an elementary school class that's waiting patiently up here. I've got some good friends that live just down the street from me, that they go to school just down the street from me at Crest Hill Elementary School in the balcony above you, Mr. President. They've come down here to see it. They've got a good friend here in Senator Landon and Senator Anderson and Senator Scott over there. And so if you'd like to stand up, we'd like to welcome you to the summit, and then you can listen to us talk about this some more.
Stand up. There you go. Hey, there you go.
Welcome to the Senate. Hope you enjoy your day. Now, Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on the amendment. You know, really what we're talking about here is creating really a safety net for our safety net. And I think there may be some requirement to do this. But I applaud the effort, but I would think that this takes a little bit more thought and a little bit more plan for all the reasons we've talked about. And so before we do create a safety net for our safety net, and I think we need to take a look at that. I would commend that as a potential interim topic or other things, but to just put this here and say it's here, and if you need it, come get it with the limited sideboards that we have on it here in the proposed footnote. I don't think that's what we really want to do in this instance. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second time. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, answer the question on the figure, $18.3 million. The estimate I have is that we really need $20 million available. There's approximately $1.7 million. and the special contingency fund that's already in the budget, as I understood the explanation yesterday. So that is potentially available, so that's why the 18.3. With regard, yes, there may be a way forward with the Bankruptcy Act. But if your problem, and let's focus on the hospitals, because that's the one that scares me the most. If your basic problem is you have lost your profitable business too much to a boutique hospital, and that's threatened in a number of these medium-sized communities, or to going over the border to Colorado because they have some cost advantages we don't. And the Medicare revenue stream going forward is not adequate to meet your ongoing operating expenses, which appears to be the case, and that's getting worse, then you may not have a means forward that way. You may need, Mr. President, some financing. Your ultimate answer may be a switch from a county memorial hospital to a hospital district with 3 mills and go to the taxpayer. But we can't stand that. Takes a while under our statutes. You can't stand that. What this would do is say, Governor, we've given you some money that with the approval, and that's an important protection, with the approval of the other elected officials, you can move forward on this so that we don't have to have a special session, so that we aren't without some facilities that we simply cannot afford, Mr. President, as a state to be without. I hope it will not be used, but given the risks that there are in the current environment that we haven't seen before, I would strongly urge the Senate to adopt this to give us some protection if we have that kind of disaster.
Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
Aye.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Driscoll? Amrick,
no.
Esquibel, Geis,
no.
Hastert, Hicks,
no.
Hines,
no.
Johnson,
no.
Landon,
no.
Meyer,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nutting,
no.
Perkins,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Von Flatern,
no.
President Ross.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 6 ayes, 24 noes.
Amendment number 56, Senate File 1, has failed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Folks, we're going to take for lunch, then we're going to be back at 2. We had given consideration to coming back a little early, but we've still got committees doing pretty important work. So we'll be back at 2. It's going to be another long day. This is really, for me, I hope you all feel the same way. This is the most important day of the session. This second reading is when you get to hear from your colleagues what this budget bill is all about, what the issues are, and we're going to take our time. It's deliberate, but you're going to learn, we learn more about the budget and what our colleagues feel about it on this second reading than we will the whole session. This is what we're here for. We'll run late, because we still need to get some fills on general file. If we could start reaching the 5 o'clock hour, which we will, and there are people just either don't have the stamina or feel like they need to get sleep because I've been running you there, talk to me. We'll make sure that your bills get done before we leave, and then we can let folks go get rest if that's what they need. But we're going to work a long day again. I apologize, but this is what we're here for. With that, did you before I call for the okay? Then with that, I'd move that the Senate beg Rise to sit again at, beg Lee to Rise to sit again. And then we're going to recess.
How about move to stand in recess until 2 p.m.?
Well, I was thinking we were in general file, but we're not. So we're just going to move to recess until 2 p.m.
Okay. Announcement, Senator Scott.
You don't have to rise and sit.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet room 302, committee members, 302-130, to complete the public testimony on the Medicaid expansion issue.
Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet in 30 minutes to continue discussion on Senate File 89, Health Professionals Medicaid Billing, and S-11. And, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, we don't have the meeting notice out yet. Just give everybody a heads up. We'll be meeting tomorrow morning at 8:30 in room S-11 to talk about two Senate files, the feed bill, and I forget the number, and Senate File 106, which is the issue resolved around Senate File 104.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Probate Proceedings, will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., different time, 9 a.m., up in room S-14 to take on our last Senate file bill, Summary Probate Proceedings.
Further announcements?
Mr. President.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. There is an announcement coming, but the Corporations Committee will meet tomorrow morning. Right now, we're planning to come in at 8 a.m. to hear Senate File 80, Real Estate Licensure, Senate File 91, Digital Information Privacy Task Force.
Further announcements? Heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate will stand in recess until 2 p.m.